As Ian has already mentioned, we appreciate your presence this evening. We do have a good number for a Friday evening of a gospel meeting. And I've been encouraged all week long by those who have been visiting and those who are regular members here. It's just been a spiritual treat to be with you this week. Thank you very much for our time spent in the Lord. I appreciate, again, my appreciation to the elders for the invitation to be here and for Ian stepping aside last Sunday to stand in his place. And you have to put up with me for a few sermons, and I appreciate him doing that. We've had a good time this week in talking about Bible matters and preaching matters, and it's been an encouragement to me, and I appreciate both he and Carrie and their fine family. You can tell a lot about Christians and parents by their children. And the Rices are doing a great job with their children. And we have other young families here that are bringing kids along that are doing a great job as well. And grandkids are coming along in some of our cases. And they'll be here. And that's certainly a good thing. And I'm really encouraged by that. And we appreciate the Rices feeding us this evening. All of the food's been very good this week. I hope that our spiritual food that I've been trying to give you has been half as good as the physical food that we've had this week. Appreciate my preaching brethren being here this evening. Brother Copeland and Brother Blake, Paul Blake. In those two cases, I have learned from them probably more from their writings than hearing them personally preach. And I've learned from them, and I appreciate my preaching brethren, and I appreciate them being here this evening and the good work that they're doing. If you want to turn in your Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in just a moment we will look at a statement there from the Apostle Paul. Enjoyed being with the Goodalls this week. Of course, now we're going to have a test. What is my relationship with the Goodalls? Yeah. Okay. They're listening to you, Ian. That's good. Every night. And I've enjoyed being with him, and Charles has been a mentor. Speaking of preaching, brethren, Charles has been my mentor. I've known the Goodalls for a little over 31 years, and it's been a very good 31 years. I guess I have two homes. I had my own home growing up, and when I married Sherry, they took me in as one of their sons. And it's always been that close relationship ever since, and so it's good to be able to stay with him. And Charles has been a great influence in my life. I know that he can't stand and speak as he had done before, but he continues to mentor me and give me advice, and we talk about spiritual matters, and I've enjoyed that this week. Of course, Vernita as well, enjoyed being with them, and I appreciate the care that you're giving them, the time that they've been with you. You watch over them, you help them, and that's a great appreciation, and my wife, Sherry, their daughter, greatly appreciates that, so thank you. There is a store in Clarksville, Tennessee, a rather new store. It's called At Home. You ladies would love it. It's a very large home decor, home improvement store. It's called At Home. And I believe that whoever chose that name really knew what they were doing, because when we even just hear or see the word home, it tugs at our heartstrings. It's typically a concept or a word or an idea that brings up warm feelings in our heart. I know that there are some who did not have a good home life. I understand that. But for the majority of us, we often associate home with something that is very good. And I want us to make that association this evening with that of things regarding heaven. The Holy Spirit, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, chooses a word, I believe, on purpose. To describe what is going to happen with us in heaven, he chooses a word, home, to instill in our minds that love and that longing to be at home with the Lord. And I believe that that's on purpose. To give us a goal and a prize and something to think about, because we typically associate home with that which is good. And so this evening, as we close our meetings, I remember growing up going to gospel meetings, and the preacher would preach on heaven on Friday night. That was kind of a common thing, and I think that's a good thing, and so we're going to do that this evening. But we hear and see the concept of home, and we want to associate that this evening with heaven, to encourage us to live in such a way to go there. A gospel meeting is for someone who needs to step forward and be baptized into Christ. And so if you need to do that, we're going to sing in just a moment a song of invitation. Come forward and be baptized into Christ. A gospel meeting is for an erring child of God to come back. And let's pray together that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. A gospel meeting is to encourage brethren who are living faithfully, and there are a good number of here this evening who are doing that, to keep living faithfully so that we can go to heaven and be together there around God's throne. And so this evening I want to encourage us along those lines. We're going to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in just a minute, but we just simply need to remind ourselves of reality, and that is that in many homes today there is abuse and neglect, and that's unfortunate. The father is missing. There's a high rate of broken homes and neglect, and many children are being raised without a mom or a dad, and that's a very sad situation. And so there's probably going to be a lot of folks in the future that have grown up in homes that aren't that ideal. And we talked about what God wants for us. Last night, we talked about how that God gives us nothing but good things, and the home and family is one of that, but many people don't want that. And so there's going to be abuse and neglect, and there's going to be those broken and dysfunctional families. We even read about those kinds of things in Bible times. It's nothing new. If we'll follow biblical principles in the home and family, we won't have these problems, but many in the world today simply refuse to do that, and so we have these problems. And we're seeing more and more where there's just simply unbelief in the home. Parents do not have God in their life, and so the children will not have God in their life, and that's a shame. And they're going to reap the fruit of that. And I'm seeing statistics where more and more people are choosing not to marry at all. The rate of being single in Western culture is on the rise every year. There are more and more people who are choosing not to marry, and those who choose to marry are choosing not to have children. I saw a report a couple of weeks ago that in about 25 to 50 years in this nation, it's going to be very difficult to have a working situation that is putting money into Social Security and other kinds of things, because we're not populating. We're not reproducing. We're not multiplying and replenishing the earth. We're not marrying and we're not having children. That's an interesting thing that is slowly now being studied. And so there wouldn't be homes like there would be in the past, in the future, because they just simply will not exist. And so this evening, although this is the situation often in our culture, we here this evening probably have experienced something a little bit different, and that is the godly homes that we find not only in Scripture, but we find today in the Lord's body by those who are following the Word of God. There are those who come from a bad home life, but if they'll become a Christian and they'll live faithfully, they can have a better home in heaven. Maybe you know of someone that has come from a bad home life, and there are brethren who will take in children that are in a bad situation, and they're to be commended for that. My parents took in two Cuban refugees in the late 1950s who were fleeing Castro's regime. They were living down in Miami, and they took in two Cuban refugees for a little while, and that was a good thing. They tried to introduce them to God's Word and the Bible and those types of things. They were teenagers, and that would have been hard to do, but Mom and Dad made that sacrifice. Mom said that one of the biggest problems was they had fled from Cuba. They were raised in Cuba on cane sugar. She said they ate up my sugar every day. I had to go buy a 5-pound bag of sugar. There's sugar on everything. You know, dumping the sugar in their drinks and dumping the sugar in their cereal and everything. Everything was sugar. But they took in some orphans at that time, and there are brethren who continue to do those things today, and that's good. We're trying to keep young folks who are not having a good home life to have a better home life. But even those who experience, maybe you or maybe you know of someone that has experienced a bad home life, you can have a better one in heaven if we'll be a faithful Christian. And if you're like me that came from a good home life, we can have an even better home life in heaven. I had a good father. I had a good mother. I had a good home life. But I can have a better one in heaven. So this evening, I want to encourage us along those lines. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 5 that we all pass from this life, and he says that the mourners will go about the streets, but those who have passed will enter into their eternal home. One way or the other, we're going to an eternal home. That eternal home may be in heaven, or that eternal home may be in torment. But we're going to an eternal home one way or the other. And that's the nature of things when we pass from this life. Where will that home be for you? And where will that home be for me? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul is writing there, if you back up to chapter 4 with me, you'll notice that he had been talking about the difficult situations that accompanied both he and the other apostles. And things would be difficult in life, especially in their preaching and teaching God's Word. And so you can come back to chapter 4 and verse 7 and start working your way down through the text. And you find, for example, in verses 8 and 9, pressed on every side, straitened, perplexed, pursued, and so forth. It was a very difficult life for the apostles. And they had to go through some physical pain and anguish and trial and tribulation. And then verse 16, Paul admits the truth that we all are getting older, and so the outward man is decaying. And so he talks about some difficult things that he had to go through as apostles. But what made him keep going forward? What made him to stay faithful as a Christian and as an apostle? Look at chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, these things, starting back in verse 7, that are difficult in life, the physical persecutions, the body getting older, there are things that we can see of the physical nature. We're not going to focus on that, verse 18, but on the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, that's the next life, that's where my goal is, that's where my focus is, those things are eternal. For, the little word for at the beginning of chapter 5 connects this thought of persecution and getting older and outwardly decaying. For we know that if our earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, that's our physical body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our heavenly body, and Paul talks about that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For verily in this we groan, our life now, the physical body we have now, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven. Let me stop right there for just a moment. Look at that word longing. You know, home is typically something that we long for. When I finish this gospel meeting, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to going home. When you get off work at the end of the day, you look forward to going home. There's a longing there. There's a desire there. And so this evening, brethren, that should be our attitude toward heaven. And regardless of what we're going through in this life, if we will have that longing for that home in heaven, that will keep us faithful here and now. That longing. How many times throughout the day do we think about going home at the end of the day after work? We might be one place and we're thinking, I can't wait till I get home. Maybe it's that recliner that you like. Maybe it's that TV program that you like. Maybe it's that glass of iced tea that you're waiting to get. Whatever it is, maybe it's just putting your feet up. Maybe you have something at home that you really enjoy and you just want to get away from it all. David said to me that he likes to go into his house and get quiet. Did you hear me honk yesterday when I went by? See, I said, I'm going to honk when I go in front of David's house just to see if he'll hear it. He wants to go home to get quiet. We are thinking about that throughout the day. We think about that when we're working. And we need to be thinking each day about our heavenly home. And so he was longing for this. Let's pick up the reading again. Longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For indeed we are in this tabernacle, we do groan. That's the life that we have now and the physical difficulties and things that we have to go through now. We groan, being burdened. That goes back to chapter 4 and the difficulties that he had to go through. We have our own. Not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal, our life now, may be swallowed up of life, that next life that is to come. Now he that wrought for us this very thing, this body that is in heaven, this habitation that is from heaven, it is God who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit. We have the Word of God through the Holy Spirit that is a guarantee. It's an earnest. It's not something that we have to wonder about. Have you ever had to put up earnest money? Have you ever had to put up earnest money? It's a guarantee. And the Holy Spirit and the things that we have in God's Word are a guarantee that these things are going to happen. Being therefore always of good courage and knowing that, see, knowing, it's an earnest, knowing that while we are at home in the body, that's our life now, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, a well-known passage of Scripture. We are of good courage, that's the second time he said that, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, this should be our goal, our purpose, our aim in life, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. And then, of course, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Why? Why the persuasion? Why the good courage? Why the knowing? Because these are certainties in Paul's mind, and we need to have that same attitude today, and that we can go and be at home with the Lord. So this evening, I want us to consider that. So let's talk about home, and who is there, and what is there, and what can be found. If I were to say to you, what is the ideal home? What would come to your earthly home? Earthly home. What's the ideal home? You're already thinking in your mind, I walk through the door and there's mom and dad. Or what's in your mind? My husband's there, my wife is there, this is there, that is there. Where is this found? Where is this ideal home found? Well, I want to talk about what home is. And what we're going to see this evening is, that's what heaven is. And let's be encouraged to either obey the gospel tonight if we need to, to come back to the Lord, or to keep living faithfully so that we can go and be there. You know what home is? Home is where our family and friends are. When you walk through the door, you don't find strangers there. What? Who are these people? When you walk through your door, it is people that you know, and it's typically friends and family. Do you know that's what heaven is? Heaven is a group of people that are all related in a spiritual family. Who do you invite over for dinner? Who are you going to invite over tomorrow afternoon to watch Florida beat LSU? Who are you going to do? Who are you going to invite? It's going to be someone that you enjoy having around. Someone that you're close to. And so heaven is going to be the same. And we need to live in such a way to go to heaven to be with those people that are in the same spiritual family. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There is a family record of names. And when we live as a faithful Christian and become a Christian, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a household of God, Galatians 2:10 and Galatians 6:10. The household of God. Ephesians 2:19, the house of God. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. When we get to that place of the new heavens and the new earth, it's where righteousness dwells. I typically don't reference the New Revised Standard Version, but I thought that this was interesting. But according to His promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. We're going to go be in a place where there is a spiritual family and closeness. That's why we need to go there. Can you think of someone that you would like to be with? I'd like to be with the Apostle Paul. I'd like to be with Abraham. I would like to be with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the righteous of all time. That's where righteousness is at home. Brethren and friends, let's live in such a way to go home, because that's where the family and friends are going to be. And maybe there's even some brethren in this life that you know of that would be there. Maybe you can think of maybe family members who are already going to be there, or faithful members of the church, and that song leader, and that gospel preacher, and that elder, and the Bible class teacher, and the deacon, and the sister down the pew, and the brother down the pew. You might have in mind some that have lived faithfully, and you get to go and be with them. It's going to be a place where there is a closeness of family. And that's certainly something that brings a warm feeling to our heart now, and it should even more so with regard to our spiritual family that we can be with at home with the Lord, where righteousness is at home. You know, we talked about that Wednesday night. Noah, Daniel, and Job, they were known for their righteousness, Ezekiel 14. You think about the righteous. In fact, Jesus references that in Matthew chapter 23. He talks about the righteous blood of the prophets from Abel to Zechariah. There's a bunch of folks that are going to be in heaven that are mentioned in Scripture that are just righteous men and women. And we get to go be with them. And there have been a lot of righteous folks that have lived since Bible times that will be there in heaven. And we can be there with our family. We can be there with our children. And we can raise them to be godly Christians. And what a beautiful place that will be. You know, home is where our possessions are. You typically don't drive around in your car. Did anybody come this evening with a car packed full of couches and furniture and a refrigerator? You got a refrigerator out in your car right now? We keep our possessions typically at home. You go home, you walk through the door, that's where your possessions are. Do you know that that's what heaven is or should be? Our possessions should not be here in this life. Our focus should not be on the things of this life. Our possessions should be in heaven. Our spiritual bank account, our spiritual possessions. Did not Jesus say that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Our reward is in heaven. Our treasures are in heaven, chapter 6 and verse 20. What's at home right now? Those physical things. Ian was showing me about that beautiful flooring that they put in. Very beautiful. It did a great job. But that's not important. Our treasures that we've been laying up in heaven, that's what's important. That's where our possessions are. And so if our possessions are at home and our heavenly possessions are in heaven, our treasure is in heaven, that's where our home is going to be. And that's where we need to be setting our minds. So it doesn't matter about the physical things of this life. Have you ever been robbed? Sherry and I were robbed in 2008. A guy busted through the side door. We were away from the house. He stole some guns and he stole some stuff. And Sherry called me. She said, I think we've been robbed. I said, well, how do you know? She said, your little coin jar that you've had since the third grade, it's sitting out in the middle of the floor. It's never out in the middle of the floor. He might have been carrying it and put it down to go do something else real quick and then left. That's a little weird. He stole some stuff. And at first we missed it, but it's just stuff. One time my parents came home before I was even born. They tell me the story. They came home. Their house burnt down. They were at church services and their house burnt down. Had a wiring problem and brethren helped them to rebuild. We might lose physical possessions. When Dorian came through recently, some folks lost some physical possessions. It happens in hurricanes and up in Clarksville, it's tornadoes. Tornado season starts in Memphis every year, same thing. Oh, here comes a tornado from Memphis coming our way. Tornadoes, hurricanes, whatever. Possessions get taken away, but that doesn't matter. Our possessions are in heaven. And so look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. In the first century, there were those Christians who suffered greatly, even to the point of having possessions taken away from them. But the writer says it doesn't matter, and here's why. You both have had compassion on them that were in bonds, Hebrews 10:34, in prison. You took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions. Look at this. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. What is that? That possession that we have in heaven. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. Nobody can take it away. Jesus said, thieves cannot break in and steal it. Nobody can take it away from you. So keep living that faithful Christian life, and you're putting those possessions every day in heaven, because our possessions are where our home is. Home is where we live and spend our time. Now, there are some workaholics. We know that. You know, there is that type of situation. But typically, when we work all day, we can't wait to get home. We don't want to live at the office. We want to be home. And we want to be with our family. We want to spend time there. Home is where we live and spend quality time. We know we have to work. We have to pay the bills, and we have to put food on the table, and we have to put a roof over our head and clothe ourselves. We understand that. That's a part of life. But we know that what is really important, and we're getting away from this in our nation and around the world, it's family and the important things. Well, isn't that the case with heaven? Heaven needs to be on our mind, where I want to spend my time and my energy and my focus and my thoughts there. We've already read 2 Corinthians 5:1-8, where Paul said, longing to be clothed upon. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to spend my time. My citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, and so is yours. Philippians 3 and verse 20. I want to enter into that eternal kingdom, 2 Timothy 4:18. And that's right after what Paul had talked about. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, and at my first defense, no one stood with me, but the Lord, He was by me. And if I can be faithful, Paul says, He will usher me into the eternal kingdom. That was always on his mind. That's where he wanted to spend his time. That's where he wanted to go. We need to be thinking about that, brethren, with regard to our heavenly home. Do we think from day to day, you know, that's where I want to go? That's where I want to spend my time. That's where I want to live. And the more that it's on our mind, the more that it will affect our lives now and encourage us in faithful living. You know, home is where we go for rest after work. 5 o'clock or whatever it is for you. I want to go home. I want to put my feet up. Don't bother me. You see? And brethren, if we will be working hard now in the kingdom, evangelism and personal evangelism is hard, but we need to keep doing that. And encouraging the saved, and being benevolent toward needy saints, we call it the work of the church. If we'll work hard now, work hard. Extra time. Spend a little bit of time each week. Could we spend 1 hour a week outside the church building doing something for the Lord? If we'll work hard and labor hard and put some sweat into it, there will come a time when we're in heaven, where we can rest after we work. Because home is where you go to rest after the work. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. We rest after the work. I told you early in the week about my dad would come up. I'm the last of 8 children, and sometimes we'd be goofing around. He'd say, "Boys, you rest after the work." He would give us a job, and we'd go out there and start resting. Wait a minute now. You got to work first, and then you can rest. And if we will work in the kingdom, always abounding in the work of the Lord, Ephesians 15:58. We need to be reminded of working. We sing in those songbooks, to the work, all those kinds of things. If we'll work, we'll see growth. We want the church to grow, but we've got to do some work. And when we do that work, there will be rest one day. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple." It's not a rest of sitting back on a lounge chair doing nothing. It's around the throne serving God and praising God and singing. But it is rest. "And when they're around the throne, they serve Him," verse 15, "day and night in His temple. And He that sits on the throne shall spread His tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb of God is in the midst of the throne, shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them into fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." You see a picture there of rest and comfort and consolation. In chapter 14 and verse 13, a well-known passage, "I heard a voice from heaven saying, write." This is important to write this down. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." That is a faithful Christian. Will you die that way if you were to die this evening or the Lord were to come? Would it be dying in the Lord? "From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them." When we pass from this life, brethren, let it be said that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was a worker. Let it be said that. And when we work, we can go home and rest. Do you know home is where we're loved? Were you loved when you were growing up? I was. If the home environment is right and it's what it's supposed to be, that's a place where you will be loved. We need more of that in our country today. Turn with me to John 14 and verse 23. We want to go to heaven because that's a place where we will be in a home where we are loved. That's what God and Jesus want for their disciples and their followers. Look at what Jesus said on the night of His betrayal, that great sermon in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, concluding with His prayer in chapter 17. Great words all throughout this lesson as they're walking through Jerusalem, leaving the upper room and so forth. Look at what He says in John 14, 23. "Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode," some versions say, "make our home with him." It's where love is. We sing in our songbooks where love is in the home. I think I was in a home this evening for dinner where love is in the home, and it's good to see that. I was in other homes this week where love is in the home. And if we will have what God wants for us, that love will be there through thick or thin. And we need to understand that we're going to be going home to a place where we are loved. Do you know that home is where our thoughts are? Paul talked about longing to be clothed upon. Paul writes about our reward in heaven, Colossians 1:5. We're to set our minds on things that are above. How often throughout the day do you think about home? I've been thinking about home all this week. Especially when I call Sherry, then I'm thinking, okay, now what's Carlin doing? And are we getting any rain? I ask her each day, has it rained? Our thoughts are on home. Did I lock the door? Did I turn the stove off? You know, whatever. We might be out going to the store. We might be at work. We're thinking about something that's going on at home. As a Christian, our thoughts are constantly about our heavenly home, because that's where we want to be. And when we read our Bibles daily, it keeps our thoughts on home. And when we pray like we should, it keeps our thoughts on home. And when we're around our spiritual brethren, even outside the building, which I would encourage, our thoughts are about home. We had lunch the other day. Ian took me and Bob Marshall invited me. We went down to Sonny's in Zephyr Hills. And I told you before, several of us preachers, and that spiritual conversation was very good for me. When you're around brethren, it will be good for you. Ladies get together. Guys get together. Young Christians get together. It helps us to keep our thoughts about heaven. It encourages us. It builds us up. So be here for the services, but also outside this building, whether it's singings or just going out to lunch with your brethren or whatever the situation might be, it causes us to be thinking about our home. And that's what we need. And it's good for us. But reading our Bible and praying and worshiping together and being with our brethren, we're always thinking about home. And that will make us faithful, and we'll find ourselves one day being there. Turn with me to John 14, 1 through 3. Home is where the Father is, or at least where He should be. Now, we understand that in many places in society that are not following the Word of God, the fathers are gone. Deadbeat dads, they're gone. They've skipped town. And maybe if we know of some personal situations in our own life, we can work to get that back, and they can be forgiven. I've known of cases like that where we just weren't thinking right and doing right, and keep praying and keep thinking about that and talking about that and working toward that, and maybe that person will change. And we can see that, and that would be a good thing. But in your ideal home, that's where your Father is. Turn with me to John 14, 1 through 3. We get to go one day and walk through the door, as it were, and have our Father there. Now, wouldn't that be impressive? Now, there were times, John 14, 1, there were times when I went home, and I'm pretty certain I was going to get a spanking, you know. Dad was going to take his belt off. But even then, at the time, I didn't realize it, but later in life, I realized, well, that was still love. He loved me and was trying to correct something. One time, I was sitting over here, Dad was up preaching, sitting about over here where Larry's sitting. One of the elder's sons was sitting beside me. We were goofing around, talking, punching, carrying on. We were passing notes and stuff. The elder's son was sitting on the very outside of the pew. I look over, he was gone. It's the one time I believed in the rapture. His mother yanked him up. She carried a switch in her purse. 1975, carried a switch in her purse, took him in the back and switched him, but good. My dad looked over, gave me the evil eye. His point was, I'm not going to come down there and do anything to you, but when you get home, you're going to get it. And it was a church house. It was the preacher's house across the parking lot, the parsonage, the preacher's house. I took forever crossing that parking lot. Because I knew, and he did, remember that sound, where you feel hear the belt coming out of the loops there, tut, bend over, whack. I was raised on a belt. So sometimes when I went home, maybe the thought was, well, I'm going to get in trouble. But even in those times, he loved me. But you go home where there's a father. And I'm not a perfect father by any means. But I learn and I grow and I change and improve and do better. And I want to be a father where when my kids come home, that's where Dad is. And just think about that. One day we can go home and be where our Father is. Let not your heart be troubled. This was an evening where Judas is gone to betray the Lord. And it's a stressful evening. It's the night of the Lord's betrayal. And the Lord sensed in their minds trouble. Let not your hearts be troubled. Here's how you solve that. Number one, believe in God. Number two, believe also in me. And number three, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house. Jesus often talked about, I must be in my Father's house or my Father's business. And even if we lived a life where our physical father was always gone, if we'll be a faithful Christian, we always have a heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. And we can go be with Him. That's where home is. And so, as we come to the close, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to gain encouragement from this passage from Abraham, and then we'll close. Abraham, a man of great man of faith, kept his eyes on that heavenly city and that heavenly home. And I'd like for us to consider that this evening as we close. Home is home. Home is where all of these things are, and heaven is the same. And so let's keep these things on our mind. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, let's consider Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jump on down to verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. First of all, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed. This evening, when we're called, let's just obey. And every time we open up our Bibles and God is calling us even to righteous Christian living, let's just get up and obey. Do you remember a time when a gospel sermon was preached and someone just came forward? What's happened? What's changed? The gospel hasn't changed. Let's not delay. Let's not procrastinate. When we're called, obey. So God called and He obeyed. And He always looked for that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. And then He was willing to sojourn. After He was called, He was willing to sojourn and go through some difficult things. And you'll notice the text says, tents, tents. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees. It was a big city. We might think of New York City. He had a home there. He had a nice life there. I'm going to give all of that up and I'm going to go live in tents. Have you ever gone camping in a tent in Florida? You got the mosquitoes and all that. Even though it's sandy, you got something under your back. Tents implies discomfort and a temporary situation. And putting up with some things until the better comes. And he was willing to do that. Will you be willing to do that? Would I? There are things in life where we're sojourning, we're passing through. It's not where we're ultimately going to stay. And so let's put up with a little bit. One time we had a family reunion where Steve was preaching. Wilson Copeland went to school with Steve, and he was preaching up in Dixon, Tennessee. And in August, in Middle Tennessee, I think we've got y'all beat on the heat. It is hot as all get out. And we don't even have the breeze that y'all have. And we had this family get together, and Steve said, I want everybody to come, but we had to stay in tents outside in August. My brother Tim, who likes to joke, says, boy, that was 3 days of intense living. He always does that. But what Steve said was, he said, that's fine, don't worry about it. We'll run some extension cords out there and put fans out in everybody's tent. But still, that was rough. Look, he was willing to sojourn and be out of his comfort zone to get that greater place later. And we need to be willing to do that. Yes, brethren, services and being at Bible class and having our lesson filled out and showing up when the elders want us to do a special thing or the deacons, that's going to put us out a little bit, but that's a part of dwelling in tents. And I've got a volunteer to help with this and volunteer. Yeah, that's right. But that's the way it's supposed to be. So let's be willing to do that. And then the third thing was, he always continued looking for home. He looked for, verse 10, the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's that great chapter that we don't have time to read this evening in Revelation 21 and 22. And we could read about that heavenly city and the great things that are there. So this evening, brethren, I believe that no matter where you pick up your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you're basically looking at a sign pointing home. That's what the Bible is. It's pointing home. And we're so acquainted with it that we know how to get there. This week I've been punching in my phone, the Google Maps, different places, or driving Charles and Vernita around. I told them, I said, look, I'm not driving you around forever. This is it. At the end of this week, I'm going home. You got to drive yourself again. I've enjoyed being their chauffeur. It's been great. But I punch into my phone, how do I get to the Rices? You know, how do I get to the Williams and all of that? And you just follow that. I don't know where folks live. But let me tell you something. When I get off that plane in Nashville, Tennessee, I don't have to punch in my home. I know exactly how to get there. And you know exactly how to get to your home, right? That's the way heaven needs to be. I know exactly how to get there. I have been so acquainted with the directions. I've been so acquainted with the way in which that's supposed to be that I know exactly how to get there. That's the way it needs to be. And so, brethren, I hope this series of week has helped us. I hope this lesson has helped us. But this is pointing us home. And if we know it so well, we can tell somebody else. Do you know how to tell somebody else how to get home? You could do that. I'm not going to use my GPS. I'm not going to use my phone. And so let's be so acquainted with the Word of God that we know exactly how to get home. And we're living that way each and every day. If we can help you this evening, we want to do that. Maybe someone just simply needs to, when you're called, you just obey. Just step forward. Water's ready. Garments are ready. We can baptize you into Christ this evening. You're ready to go home. As an erring child of God, come back if you can. I know that that's embarrassing sometimes and that's troublesome and bothersome, but the loving brethren here have open arms. They're ready to take you back. And the good brethren here that are living faithfully, let me encourage you to continue doing that. At home with the Lord. The last time I mentioned something about this in that store in Clarksville, all the ladies were, yeah, I love that place. It's awesome. At home, just those two words. And let that be the case with heaven. And do what we can to be there and get there. And what a great thing that we can be with our family. Each and every one of us here will be there. Other brethren in Lakeland will be there. Around the state, around the country, around the world. And what a beautiful homecoming that will be. If we can encourage you to be a part of that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?